Hidden within the historic DuPont Circle neighborhood of Washington, D.C., lies an address of infamous notoriety. Seemingly lost forever within the late 19th century Queen Anne Row House revival, the house at 1727 19th Street has been whitewashed from history. Her existence almost entirely unbeknownst to the general public, the following is the virtually untold story of how, for nearly a decade, all roads in Washington led to this mysterious address just 1 mile northwest of the White House. And for nearly a decade, anyone who was anyone gravitated there. At the height of its popularity, it was more than a gathering place for Phi Beta Kappa Harvard law grads. It was a home, a birthplace even, to American liberal progressivism, and forever known as the House of Truth. The house was owned by Robert Grosvenor Valentine, Bachelor of Arts, Class of 1896, Harvard Law. It is Valentine who invited Felix Frankfurter, Harvard Law Class of 1906, and Winfred Dennison, a friend and former Harvard classmate of Valentine's, to stay at the house beginning in 1911. In the years prior, Valentine was a member of the Taft administration and had resigned his position as Commissioner of Indian Affairs, just at the time everyone was settling in at the house. All three of these men knew each other from their time under another Harvard Law grad, Henry L. Stimson, at the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York. Stimson placed there on the recommendation of his former law partner and Taft's Secretary of State, a fraternal brother of Phi Beta Kappa, Elihu Root. Valentine, most known for being one of, along with Frederick Winslow Taylor, the pioneers of scientific management, a term describing economic efficiency and industrial relations born from necessity out of the Industrial Revolution. Vladimir Lenin would later initiate Valentine and Taylor's ideas abolishing collective management by the workers, calling Taylorism the cornerstone to Soviet socialist government. Trotsky, himself leader of the Bolsheviks, openly acknowledged the similarities between militarism and Taylorism. The invention of the term scientific management and the entire efficiency movement that takes place in the United States at the exact same time, in fact largely credited to another central figure of the House, mentor to Frankfurter and the first Jewish member of the Supreme Court, the people's attorney, Louis Brandeis. Valentine was the subject of a 1915 Harper's Weekly article entitled The Human Audit, in which the author referred to Valentine and his goal as, quote, the scientific knowledge of human beings, end quote. Further adding, quote, and yet until 3 years ago when Robert G. Valentine became the pioneer, the profession of labor auditing was unknown, end quote. American Magazine, in January of 1916, named Valentine the country's, quote, first expert in industrial relations, end quote, and the, quote, only man in America who is a whole profession all by himself, end quote. Over the next 4 years, Valentine, with the help of Brandeis, Taylor, and Frankfurter, would turn his theories on industrial relations into a discipline. And that discipline eventually would become an American institution. And with American entry into the war looming, Valentine and his cohorts knew the important role industrial relations would play in winning the war. And following the sinking of the Lusitania in 1915, and war seemingly imminent, Valentine promoted his ideas in the New Republic, seeing preparation for war as an opportunity. Valentine, Brandeis, and Frankfurter would all communicate often with Taylor, who had published his The Principles of Scientific Management, coincidentally, in the same year they all moved into the house. It was Brandeis, in fact, who introduced Taylor's ideas to the world, promoting his work during a highly publicized investigation into the efficiency of trusts. Today, Frederick Winslow Taylor remains the preeminent figure in the industry. Scientific management now more widely known simply as Taylorism. In 2001, the Fellows of the Academy of Management voted The Principles of Scientific Management the most influential management book of the 20th century, and Brandeis, Frankfurter, and Valentine were instrumental in its application into society.
It's about productivity. All sorts of businesses are finding all sorts of ways to make their workplace more efficient. And so tonight, what many people believe is the most important ism of the 20th century, as in Taylorism. It is sometimes argued that Taylorism has made the most lasting contribution to American thought since the Federalist Papers. Taylorism, you might ask? Chances are you live and work by it. Tonight, the extraordinary impact of Frederick Winslow Taylor. At the turn of the century, when the Industrial Revolution hit its stride and was beginning to change everything, Frederick Winslow Taylor became convinced that one machine could turn America into an economic powerhouse, the stopwatch.
Frederick Taylor was the first efficiency expert. He came into the factories of the industrial Northeast and changed them.
Machines had already changed the mills of the 19th century, but the workers who ran them clung to the old ways of doing things. Trades were learned literally from watching another laborer. Workers were paid for piecework and were loath to work any faster, lest bosses lower the rate. Frederick Taylor thought the system was ridiculously inefficient.
He was the first person to come along and say, we can treat work as a science just as we can anything else. We can analyze it, we can tear it apart, and we can reconstruct it in a new, more efficient way.
Taylor was born into Philadelphia's Quaker aristocracy. He was born rich. His father never worked a day in his life. Taylor was accepted by Harvard, but he did not go. Instead, he learned about factories, how to read mechanical drawings, how to be a machinist. He became a consultant for America's steel industry when he convinced the mill owners that he could speed up production. They worked, and Taylor watched. And he timed. He timed everything. Every job was broken up into tasks, each task timed with an eye to efficiency. Taylor determined that coal shovelers were most efficient lifting exactly 21 and a half pounds. Then he designed the perfect, most efficient shovel and a schedule of how many lifts each worker should do every minute, every hour, when they should rest. Productivity soared. The workers hated him.
He deprived workers of control over the workplace, over their tools, and over their use of their bodies.
Taylor couldn't understand the animosity. He thought surely that more productivity would lead to happier workers who were better paid. By 1911, when he published his Principles of Scientific Management, the enthusiasm for Taylor's ideas had grown. In its division of labor and insistence upon speed, Henry Ford's assembly line followed Taylor's principles. Taylor's one best way of doing things, organized efficiency, became central to the conduct of business in the 20th century. You can see it today on the assembly lines which produce our cars, our computers, our cheeseburgers, even our coffee.
New gurus have appeared in the managerial field, but none of them has had the influence of Frederick W. Taylor.
That would have pleased Taylor. He never knew the full extent of his influence. He became ill and died in 1915 at the age of 59. It is said that the last thing he did before he died was wind his watch.
Besides Valentine, Frankfurter, and Denison, two other prominent progressive leaders called the house home: Walter Lippmann and Herbert Croly. While Supreme Court Justices Louis Brandeis and Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. were both frequent and often honored house guests, Interesting to know then that these men all just so happened to be major father figures of the central tenets of progressivism, more specifically known as the efficiency movement. Herbert Croly wrote what many consider to be the Progressive Manifesto, The Promise of American Life, in 1909, Frankfurter calling it, quote, the most powerful single contribution to progressive thinking, end quote. While Lippmann championed Croly as the, quote, first important American political philosopher, end quote. Theodore Roosevelt publicly identified Croly's book as being the impetus for his 1912 progressive campaign platform, New Nationalism, a strong patriotic state built on efficient labor force and military preparedness. Croly continued to write in support of strong central government, labor unions, and the nationalization of corporations in his 1914 book, Progressive Democracy. Herbert Croly, the spiritual force behind the soon-to-be-created progressive special interest rag, The New Republic. From the Taft-Stimson-Root social circle arose the idea for the House of Truth. Originally meant to be a voice for Roosevelt's progressive new nationalism, the House would eventually change its allegiance to Woodrow Wilson and his progressive New Freedom campaign. Following the deaths of Frederick Winslow Taylor in 1915 and Valentine in 1916, both Brandeis and Frankfurter would take the lead in continuing the work of Valentine and Taylor, helping establish scientific management into what we know today as industrial relations, or more simply as Taylorism. Join us next time when we are introduced to the young radical socialist Phi Beta Kappa bachelor of the House, who we now know today, some 100 years later, as the father of modern journalism and the most influential writer of the 20th century, Walter Lippmann.